I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Cami Charrière.
And I'm Monica Ainley. And you're listening to Fashion No Filter,
where we sit down with some of the lead creatives, strategic thinkers, and emerging talent around us to interpret the ins and outs of the fashion industry today.
Hello, everyone. Live from London, it's Fashion No Filter.
It's Fashion No Filter.
On the last day of London Fashion Week, we're going to look back with you on what we've seen. Cami's been running around New York as well. I've been in London.
Absolutely. And I cried at a fashion show, which I haven't done for a really long time. I hadn't cried at a show in many, many years. What? I feel young again.
What show was that, Cam?
The Marc Jacobs show. The Why? Marc Jacobs at the park.
Why did you cry?
Why did I cry? I cried because it's funny. I hadn't felt that way at a fashion show in a really long time. I think it was a combination of the music, Dream a Little Dream of Me, how small the show was. There were literally maybe like 50 people there. Like yeah. It was tiny. And the models just walked in a single line straight towards us. And they were wearing the most bright, playful, colorful, and happy clothes that I've seen at a show in a really long time. And it was just, you know, like Gigi didn't have any shoes on. They were all smiling. They were dancing. It looked like they'd been playing dress up, you know, like, you know, when you were little and you'd have like a huge dressing up clothes.
Or in your mum's closet, yeah. Or granny's closet.
And
that's so fun.
I don't know. It just reminded me of my childhood and I just loved it. So yeah, tears of joy were shed in New York. What about here, Monica? What's been? I was away at a wedding this weekend, so you've been doing the show going for us this week. What have you seen in London that you really liked?
Well, I thought that the Erdem show was beautiful as usual. They choose the most incredible locations. They had the show outside this time, which is always risky in London, but in Gray's Inn Fields. Gray's Inn is where all of the top barristers prepare their cases in London. Reminds me of Mark Darcy, anyhow. And they have beautiful gardens and it was exquisite. See my Instagram and a lot of other people's for more details. But I also was quite taken by Christopher Kane's show. He chose to tackle what I think we can all agree is the pink elephant in the room really head on. So a lot of designers in London are trying to look at the materials they're using, look at the supply chain. Christopher Kane is doing that, but he also decided to make ecology sexy again with the words eco-sexual, which appeared on a lot of his sweatshirts and
t-shirts.
It's
kind of fun. I think a new gender or a new sexual orientation.
A new identity.
A new sexual orientation.
Like, do you self-identify as an eco-sexual, Cami?
Yes, I do, Monica. Do you?
I should say I think I probably do from now on.
And someone else who probably identifies as an eco-sexual is our guest on today's show. And a very beautiful eco-sexual warrior she is too.
I think she should be the poster girl. Miss Arizona Muse is obviously a very well-known model. I've been following her career for years. And she has since, more recently, become a self-educated environmental activist. We are so thrilled to have her here in London with us today because Arizona manages to put a really positive spin on what is obviously a very scary subject matter and really takes a 360 view of how the fashion industry needs to progress.
Exactly. And we felt that because we haven't done an episode on sustainability for a long time, and yet it is, as Monica rightfully put it, the pink elephant in the
room.
It's
super present. I mean, I think that I'll just say, you know, we've been going to fashion shows in London for years, and it used to be that we would wonder if there were going to be fur activists outside of the show, which is a whole other subject matter I'm not going to go into. And they were quite aggressive and would throw paint at people and all that. I mean, everyone's seen, you know, that in movies. Now it's climate activists who are outside of shows, and they take a much better, I feel, a more effective approach by picking up a mic and saying some really hard-hitting stuff, but in a more respectful way. I mean, they can be a bit condescending, but I think they have to be. They're like, you're cool now. Are you going to be cool in 10 years? Are you going to be proud in 20 years?
Exactly. And I think both Monica and I wanted today's episode to add some food for thought when it comes to the choices that we make on a daily basis when it comes to the clothes that we buy and that we wear. Because I think a lot of us may feel, well, certainly I feel, a little bit overwhelmed nowadays. I used to just be able to enjoy my clothes and just buy things when I felt like it or when I needed it or purely for pleasure. Yeah, or when I thought I needed it. And now that is a little bit more complicated, because I do find that every time I want to buy something, or even when I'm just enjoying a show, there's a tiny voice at the back of my head that's like, but should you be enjoying this? But should you be buying this? And we felt that, I think, educating ourselves and having this conversation with Arizona might help also all of us make better decisions when it comes to, you know, the choices that we make when we're shopping.
Without ruining the fun and massive industry that is fashion.
And before we start, just a quick thank you to this episode's sponsor, Mercedes-Benz, who provided us not only...
Mercedes-Benz UK, who
provided us with a car for the shows and who were kind enough to listen to our request, which was to get an electric car because we wanted to try and be a little bit more sustainable in our travel endeavors. London is a huge city, so it actually helped a lot.
And it rains at the drop of a hat, so it's quite important. And London Fashion Week is very spread out. Actually, I know, BFC, that everybody wants to be in a beautiful location, but we have to get shows communicating between, designers communicating between them about the distances. Anyhow, thank you, Mercedes, for saving our, not bacon, because I don't know if bacon's very sustainable, for saving our organic.
Because our arses are sustainable, definitely.
Arses.
And for providing the best driver that two girls could hope for. Martin, we love you. Thank you.
Martin, like Martin from The Parent Trap. Thanks, Martin. One of the highest profile shows at London Fashion Week is naturally Victoria Beckham, for reasons I don't need to go into. And it's also one of the highest security, which means that all of the most important people, celebrities, editors, what have you, everyone has to queue up outside of the show to have their bags checked, go through security, which was a good opportunity for a group of climate activists to come and give us a pretty hard-hitting speech. So here's a little excerpt that I recorded.
So here we go. Without further ado, here is
Arizona.
Arizona Muse.
And it is also currently exhausting an enormous amount of carbon and driving the need for fast fashion. It causes people to be incredibly disrespected, working in conditions a lot more irksome than a cold cappuccino. So please, consider your fashion. Consider what you can do. Use less. We've got to use less. Ask yourself, you may be cool now, but will you be cool in 10 years' time? Will you be applauded in 100 years' time? Or will your great-grandchildren be asking, how on earth could have my ancestors have used so much carbon? Nothing will change until you change it. Do something new. Honor the beauty of our planet. Make all mothers happy.
This Mother is outside of the Victoria Beckham show.
Think about what we do. There must be a way of making beautiful businesses that have a beautiful inside and an outside, that are beautiful from the place they come from to the place they go to. And it will be good business to find business that respects nature, that respects workers, and that doesn't drive people to feel uncomfortable.
I think it was a good place to do it outside the Victoria Beckham show because she's probably one of the most famous designers that exists in the world.
Right.
So that was great. I don't say it as an attack on her brand more than any other brand because there's almost no difference between any of the brands when it comes to their sustainability standards. The big problem is that we don't know. People don't know how to become more sustainable. And that lovely gentleman standing up and being brave and saying all that didn't teach anyone what to do differently,
right,
to become more sustainable. So raising awareness is important, but I think every time you raise awareness, you need to link it immediately with an action or several actions.
Yeah.
So the actions there would be, as a brand, choose better materials. Go and educate yourself about what materials have a higher environmental impact and which ones have a lower, and choose the ones with a lower environmental impact. Talk to the suppliers, talk to your factories, make sure everyone's being treated well in your factories. And don't forget that it's not only your factory, it's also all the suppliers that your factory has. So where do they get their materials? Where do they source their trims? Where are they getting their buckles from? All these things that we just don't think to ask about, even if we're working on a fashion product development team.
Yeah.
As a consumer, the questions are similar but slightly different. As a consumer, your power really is talking to the people who you buy from. So whenever you make a purchase, think of the power that you have to make a comment with that purchase. Whenever you buy something, send a little message to that brand and say, what was this made from? Why did you choose that material? Was that the most sustainable option? Or is there a reason why you're not using organic cotton yet? Because organic cotton is one of the biggest shifts that every brand can do. It's available now, and the price is falling as the demand goes up. So it's a two-way street here. We have to start creating the demand before we expect the price to fall more. It will never fall as low as conventional cotton, and it should not. That's an important piece to recognize in ourselves, that a lot of things have become too cheap. That's not the real price of cotton. So we need to realign our desires around the price of cotton, because it is a little bit more expensive. It's not much more expensive, but it is a little bit. And that ensures that people were paid properly and that there won't be a huge amount of fertilizer runoff from farms into rivers, making them completely unlivable for native species of flora and fauna. And I mean, I love talking about oceans and water too. It's a lot.
But you're so knowledgeable. Can we just take a step back, actually, because you're so knowledgeable today. And we were wondering how you got into it. I mean, I have been following your career as a model for a long time, trying to get my eyebrows to look like yours for years to no avail. Just trying to brush them up. It just doesn't work. Did you first start thinking about all of this?
So I definitely didn't live a sustainable life at all 10 years ago, even 6 years ago. It was about 4 years ago that I had been modeling for about 6 years then. I've been modeling for 10 years. And I just realized, you know what? I'm not happy with all this waste. I do see how wasteful this is. And it was just a little thing. I just wanted to learn more about it, more about where it all goes, where it all came from. And through that, I discovered I have quite a lot of sustainability nerdiness. I love materials. I want to know everything about them. Every time I see a material, which is on a sofa, on a floor, in a building site, on a jacket, the buckles, I mean, everything. I want to know where it came from and what's on it and what's it made from. And when you start asking those questions, you go on these amazing like avenues of discovery, and you'll realize that there are so many people involved with each material, because the raw material is usually very, very different than the material that we end up using on a product. Any kind of metal is mined. Mining is one of the most destructive industries, so we really need to sort out our metal situation. Also, metals usually have an alloy over them. I'm sure you've seen kitchen taps and bathroom sinks with the peeling off of them. Think about that. Where is that going? That's a material, and that's either going into the air and it's going into the water. And what even is it? I don't know. And I haven't found anyone. I ask that question all the time. What is it? I haven't found anyone who's been able to tell me that, and I can't Google it. And it's just like, we just don't know. Same with silk. Silk looks so different in so many different types of fabric. And sometimes it's the weave or the knit of the fabric, but often it's the chemical processing on it. You can make something shiny with a chemical processing, but no one knows. Even people who are fabric experts, often this is omitted in their training. Just, we've just assumed that fabrics just poof, they just look a certain way, and they don't, is the truth.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I feel like there's been a huge trend recently for people to eat more organically and make sure that what they're putting inside their body is good for them, because we're told that pesticides, etc., are going to going to be bad for us and cause cancers or even just silly things like spots. And same, I think, with beauty products, organic beauty products, that's been a huge trend. But yet clothes, you wear them on your skin. It's the same. Like, it's touching your skin all day long. So why do people not care more about the material that they're putting on their skin? Yeah.
And also, not just that, because when organic cotton, I started seeing it, or bamboo, I was quite young. So I grew up in Santa Fe, New Mexico, which is kind of, it's a very aware sort of culture. So organic cotton started popping up in shops when I was a teenager, which was quite early on. And I thought, it's fine. I'm okay wearing normal ones. I've been wearing normal cotton all my life. Like, what's the deal? Come on. Do we have to really go this far? Because my parents were always about organic food. And I was like, oh, this is so annoying. Why do we have to eat organic food? Why can't we just eat like the big shiny food that gets in the normal grocery stores? I want my apples waxed. Like, why are you denying me all the pretty things, Mom? And since then, 15 years later or more, I'm 30 now, I realized it's actually not about my skin. My skin's fine with organic or conventional cotton, but the soil in which that cotton was grown is not fine with conventional cotton. Right. It just is not. It's destroyed everything.
Do we think then that cotton is, in the same way as sort of red meat is the black sheep of the food industry, is cotton?
I think monocultures are the black sheep of the food industry. Nothing is bad in moderation.
Right.
Cotton is a really lovely plant.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with cotton. But when it's grown in a monoculture year after year after year on the same soil, it's really depleting and needs a lot of fertilizer and it needs quite a lot of water. Organic cotton has restrictions on watering, so then it's never grown in such a dry place, and or it'll have a smaller yield. But also, we've forgotten that there are many, many different varieties of cotton, and we've chosen the type of cotton that grows the fastest and isn't necessarily the softest or the thickest.
It's about the greediness, right?
Exactly. It's about greediness,
which is me as well, kind of.
Well, it's the ultimate, it's the ultimate question, isn't it? Can fashion be sustainable? Is that not just the ultimate oxymoron?
I think greed and efficiency are sometimes really confused.
That's true.
It's called efficiency. It's called the most efficient way of growing the most cotton possible, but it's not the nicest cotton. It used to be nicer cotton. You feel old cottons and you're like, wow, that doesn't feel like my t-shirt. It just doesn't, because we don't grow those old varieties of cotton anymore. I mean, with wheat, it's the size and shape problem. So we've chosen the type of wheat that all grows its wheat berries at the same height so that a combine harvester can come through and harvest them all at the same time. We didn't choose that variety because it tastes the best or because it's the most nutrient dense.
That's really interesting.
Or because it grows the most seeds. We've chosen it because it produces the least amount of seeds, so you have to buy the most amount of seeds.
So it's efficiency stuff.
Yeah. There are some types of wheat that produce about 20 wheat grains per stem, or per plant, sorry. And then there are others that produce about 200. Oh my God. So imagine as a farmer, which one like would you prefer? But the ones that produce 200 don't produce them all at the same height. Yeah. So then it's not as easy to harvest them. You have to hand harvest them. which creates really like wonderful work for humans. I volunteer on farms whenever I can. It's the most satisfying feeling to harvest food. Mm-hmm. It really is. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's satisfying when you're paid 90 cents an hour. That's not the point I'm making here at all. Things need to, obviously we need to be compensated properly for the work that we do. But just speaking about the quality of work, it's really pretty wonderful.
So to go back to your point from the very beginning, which was listening to that man's speech, which, although it was very, very deep and meaningful, didn't provide solutions. What is the solution for consumers?
Actually, he did. Sorry. He was providing the buy less solution, which is a really big one.
Yeah.
But let's go deeper into that as a solution, because it's very difficult to, or it's not fun to imagine yourself buying less. Because yeah. when I imagine myself buying less, I imagine myself in a store next to my next favorite dress going, I can't have that, and walking away. And I'm like, oh, that's such a boring image. I don't want to be that person. So instead, I found a different image for buying less, which is you walk into your room, you open your closet, and you've been buying less. So your closet isn't stuffed and overflowing with things that you don't really care about. You open your closet and you see all your favorite things there, displayed perfectly, looking all pleasant together. And that's what buying less looks like.
That sounds fun.
It does. Thank you.
Guys, do you want to do that?
Because I feel like we can go deep and nerdy, as you said, about materials, etc. And I think it is important for people to understand a little bit more why organic cotton is more expensive and why it's important to vote with your wallet.
It takes more farmers to grow organic cotton as well.
Exactly.
So there's more of a community, which is better for people.
Yeah. But what is the solution? Yeah. Because I think like... people find it difficult to be more sustainable in their everyday life. People find it hard to go into a shop and it's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. You see the high street, you see like big fashion houses, smaller fashion houses, and the high street itself. And you think, okay, there's a lot of things on sale. How do I know that I'm making the right decisions? What brands?
Totally. And well, people say to me, so are we just not even supposed to buy from any high street stores anymore? Mm-hmm.
It depends. I mean, it's a lot of research to understand what each high street store is doing well and what they're doing badly.
But this is the problem though, isn't it? People have jobs. They don't have time as an individual to do this, to become a climate change expert. Mm-mm.
And I think, and then I'll let you continue, that there's this whole sort of feeling of when high street first became a big thing, it was, well, fashion is accessible to everybody now, right?
Everyone deserves fashion.
Right. Everybody deserves to be part of the trends. Mm-hmm. Totally true. But
I look at a world where now we, a fashion world, where the high street brands have said, yeah, we need to clean up our act. How do we do it? How do we talk about it? And there are all these valid questions, which is the best pathway? There are two pathways. One is to make the biggest environmental impact. One is to make the biggest PR impact. And I think it's tempting to go for the PR impact rather than the biggest environmental impact. One way of doing both is to create a separate line that is your sustainable line.
And like H&M Conscious.
Like H&M Conscious. Many of them have it now, Mango Committed.
Yep.
You have it sitting alongside your other stuff and you make a more conscious choice of the materials, the price is higher, and the designs are different. Mm. So there are several problems with this method, I find, that one, you have to be able to afford to spend a little more, and you also have to, even if, say, I can afford to spend more on the conscious collection rather than the normal H&M collection, but what if I just like the designs better?
Yeah.
In the normal collection.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, you've given me this choice. I don't want to make the choice.
Yeah.
Don't make the consumer make the choice. The other option.
Just that clean up your act altogether.
That these brands could be doing is instead of making 100% sustainable garments, which by the way, none of those are 100% anyway. Because you look at the blends of fabric and often they're blended with polyester. It's just a lower percentage than they would use on their main. And a blended fabric is a big problem because it can't be recycled. Polyester is a big problem because it's a virgin material that is completely toxic and synthetic. So if all these big brands instead were to say, listen, we can't be 100% sustainable yet, but what we're going to do is make 30% of our entire store is sustainable. You don't have to make a choice. It's raised our prices very minimally. You won't really notice. And all the designs are the same. It's harder to PR that as a package because it's not really a package. It's just an entire message. But you'll have a much bigger, deeper environmental impact when you do that. So this is what I would like to see. And this is, I do brand collaborations now where I make products with sustainable materials. I choose brands whose products I already love and use their designs and just source the materials for them. And it's an education. It's a consulting project. I love it. They love it. And this is the aim of the game with this is to help them to transform the rest of their brand's materials into sustainable materials.
Tell us about the handbag that you've brought in today.
So today I have with me a collaboration I did with Officina del Poggio, which is a small Italian brand helmed by a really lovely American lady called Allison, who is doing her best already. She was already using vegetable tan leathers. She makes rigid bags that are just very chic. And I love them.
Really
and
chic.
We continued using the vegetable tan leather. We also introduced salmon skin leather in this collection because salmon skin is a complete byproduct and displaces the use of cow leather, which is an industry in itself. It is technically a byproduct from the meat of cows, but all of it is a bit of a problem. I'm not saying fish farming is not a problem because that is a major aquatic issue as well.
But just to like really just bring this down just for people who aren't super in the know. So when you say a byproduct, that means that the salmon was going to die anyway. And this is the skin.
Exactly. It means that the salmon was going to be killed and eaten and the skins are discarded. Mm-hmm. So now there are companies popping up probably everywhere who are taking the skins and tanning them as mm-hmm. you would cow leather, mm-hmm. adhering them together with heat rather than glue, so it's non-toxic. Glue is a big issue. We don't have a sustainable glue. Please let me know if someone's listening and they have a sustainable glue. Please get in touch with me because I'm looking for one. But as it stands at the moment, I'm not aware of any. They're all toxic. Some are water-based. Don't confuse that with being sustainable. It's better, but it's water and what else? Just because it's water-based doesn't mean it's entirely made of water.
It's glue.
It's glue.
So do you want to shout out the brands that you feel are doing not just a marketing PR job of being sustainable and are actually places that you feel are safe, you can go through the door and pick up something nice and new for yourself, obviously only if you need it?
Yeah. Nothing is entirely safe right now. There are... and. I would say safe and commercially viable as well. Commercial, when I say commercial fashion, I mean like the kind of fashion that you wear on a daily basis, not like, because there are wonderful creative people who are making extraordinary pieces, but they're often not really something that you would wear every day, which is beautiful. And I want to encourage them to do that because they're making, they're sending a really strong message. But I'm talking about clothes that people generally wear on the street
of
and
course.
You just wear to work and you,
which
like
is
that.
What we want to talk about, because I think we want to be able to send out a message to our listeners of you can make more conscious decisions.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. So a lot of Scandinavian brands are doing really well. Gani is really good. Cezanne is lovely, French brand.
I'm doing a project with them right now.
Are you?
And they are. They're,
so
they're really good.
They're really good. They don't use all organic cotton.
No, but they're really trying.
A lot of their materials are really good. Yeah. Their leather is vegetable tanned. They're really, really trying. And I don't think they're doing it for a PR way because I've never heard anyone call them a sustainable brand before. I just noticed this through wearing their clothes.
No, because they started off not being sustainable. And I think she realized, Morgan, the founder, that she wanted to be part of the solution, as we like to call it. And yeah, I think that's why they've been trying their best. But again, doing it not for PR purposes, doing it because they feel that's the only way to move forward in an industry where so many things are done wrong.
Lillian von Trapp makes jewelry out of entirely recycled metal because she believes so strongly that we should not mine anything else ever. We have taken enough resources from the earth. They're all floating around on the surface now because of us. So we can just reuse them. She makes really beautiful, very modern jewelry. She's based out of Germany. It's just exceptional.
Potentially a relation of Captain Von Trapp as well, which is like
quite romantic.
I'm in.
Yes. And Officina del Poggio, Skim, London, SKIIM. They use only vegetable tanned leather and they're really lowering their environmental impact to the point where they even now their packaging tape is made of paper rather than plastic. Very impressive. It's all, you have to think of an operational level as well as a brand or as an individual. My packaging tape at home also is paper. This, it helps. All these little things. I buy Band-Aids, plasters, made from organic cotton. When I found those, I was like, yes, did a little celebration dance. I mean, it's so cool when you find these little things.
I've made a decision to only use bamboo toothbrushes because I think toothbrushes are one of those things that you go
we
through
replace
lots.
Them but so God, often
I'm gonna be honest, I haven't thought about that, like I didn't even
so yeah. You could at Planic Organic you can buy bamboo toothbrushes and I think toothbrushes are a good thing to go sustainable because you often have to replace them quite often. I mean my toothbrushes unfortunately
talk about replacing. You had an interesting question on the list about the Marie Kondo conundrum.
Yeah, because I think like everybody's watched the Marie Kondo is it a series?
It's a series on Netflix.
And everybody goes into the new year thinking, I'm going to Marie Kondo my life and I'm going to feng shui my wardrobe.
Does
and
it
I'm
bring you
get
joy?
Rid of everything that I'm not using. But the way I see it is that there's now a Marie Kondo landfill somewhere in the world. Because if you're getting rid of everything that you don't, that you're not using anymore, or certainly if you're not getting rid of it and recycling it properly, it doesn't just disappear.
Here's another suggestion. So think of the lifetime of planet Earth. It's kind of a lot longer than our lifetimes, right? So whether or not you send something to the dump now or in 30 years, it makes zero difference to planet Earth. I mean, maybe slightly because perhaps our recycling techniques will be more advanced in 30 years. That might make a small indirect difference, but in general, it doesn't make a big difference. So if you don't need it now, as long as you won't replace it. So don't throw things away to get new ones of them.
Got it.
But if you don't need it, there's nothing wrong with getting rid of it because you will feel different in your home when you're not cluttered. So that's my answer to the Marie Kondo.
So you can get rid of
conundrum.
It as long as you're not just going to go out and buy another one immediately to have another new one in there.
Or in 30 years, because in 30 years is still immediately. In the planet cycle.
So the big thing is buy less. That's really the big mantra, I think, for all of our generation.
The big thing is buy what you need. If you don't need it, you won't need to have it in your house. So don't bring it into your house because eventually you'll just be annoyed that you brought it in. I think also with gifts, it's really important. I think a lot of people find that gift giving is a place where they end up buying a lot of plastic and a lot of packaging. Mm. And it's because it's in our culture, which is a beautiful thing that I want to respect and admire, that we love to give each other things. So let's do that, but let's be more conscious about what we give. Maybe it's an experience, give someone a massage instead.
Creative
put it in an
gift giving.
You know, like a beautiful envelope that has seeds planted in it and you're going to plant them. Seeds are a problem because we can't really ship them around the world because native plant invasions, things like that.
But I'll give you an example. One of my favorite wedding presents, I couldn't believe how lucky we were, was a friend of my mother's who lent us her house in Italy.
Mm-hmm. Lovely.
Like, think outside the box.
Someone yesterday told me that the wedding present they give is a farm box. So you get a year-long subscription or even a month subscription or a one-time box of veggies that arrive to the newlyweds' house. Like that's a beautiful gift. If you choose the right one, it doesn't come wrapped in plastic. There are definitely ways to give gifts that aren't so wasteful. And children, it's really hard for me to think about how we still take our children to a massive, overwhelming, loud, bright, colorful toy store as a reward. And we're bringing them into this consumerism and teaching them that this is what you get on a special occasion. Let's teach them something else. Yeah. Let's teach them that on a special occasion, we do something that's more meaningful to us, that we connect still, but we find another thing to connect over.
When we were little, I was born in the Pyrenees in the south of France. And my parents used to go walking in the mountains every weekend. Mm. And my parents made us play this game, really, really fun game, which was to pick up all the rubbish in the mountain.
Such
really,
a fun
really
game.
Fun game. No. And the one who picked up the most rubbish would be able to get a Kit Kat at the end of the...
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
That's a brilliant game.
And I remember we were very, very competitive, the four of us. So...
Yeah, you're one of four. That's so much fun.
Yeah, she's the oldest.
I'm
of
the
four.
Eldest of four. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I know. Yeah, so big much family. Fun.
So okay, much fun. Backtrack for one sec. I want to talk about vintage.
Yes.
Is vintage maybe the way forward? Because I've been sort of thinking that it maybe is for we fashionistas. You know, it's really hard because I think all of us, you know, have influence within our following or whatever you want to call it, and I am trying to make responsible decisions, but sometimes I just don't you still want to enjoy fashion, you still want to look elegant and all of this, and so I personally love vintage shopping.
Vintage is very environmentally safe because you're not purchasing new resources that came from the earth, so that's great. Socially though, imagine if everyone only purchased vintage clothing. The whole entire fashion industry, which props up millions and millions of livelihoods all over the world, would just fold. So we have to, and there is always a balance, and politicians are very aware of this. Well, if we support the environment, often we're cutting jobs, and then if we support jobs, we're often degrading the environment. And it's, I don't have the answers for all of it, but let's consider that if you're using your money to spend wisely and to cast a vote with every dollar you spend, because you do, buy from brands who are creating meaningful jobs using good environmentally friendly materials. Mm-hmm. You're not doing a bad thing. In fact, you are helping the industry to shift more rapidly. So don't always, it's not a negative game. You don't always have to feel guilty about absolutely everything you get. It's stuff isn't, it's not going to end the world.
The world is ending anyway.
No, that's
we just sorry. Have sorry. To be,
stay positive.
Also, stay positive.
If all agriculture were regenerative, and this is a world that I'm really fighting hard for, is we would be helping planet Earth recover from climate change and global warming when we bought food or clothing that was grown. And that would be a pretty cool scenario. If you knew that that was happening, if you were absolutely 100% sure that when you bought something made of silk, hemp, flax, wool, leather, cotton, all the natural materials, there's so many to choose from, you were actually helping climate change? Yeah. That would be amazing. So that's where I want to get the world within the next year.
Okay. So come on, guys.
We're in an emergency here and we have to move quickly.
Do you think that now that you're an activist, you have to make more conscious decisions when it comes to your actual career in terms of
what jobs you take?
Exactly, because I think we get asked that a lot as influencers, you know, like almost being accused of being part of the problem by just by promoting brands. Every day, you're basically...
And it's not a false accusation.
Not
like,
at all.
I feel the weight of that
entirely. Of course. No. Of course you feel the weight of it. You have to be mindful of that.
And I feel it more and more as time goes by and as I know more, because the more you know, the more it influences your decisions.
Of
I do
course.
Think that educating yourself is the way forward, because I don't find that I'm denying myself things all the time at all. Like, I don't want things anymore if I know that they are environmentally harmful. Like a synthetic cushion, I'm not interested. I don't want it in my house, and I'm not denying myself from that purchase. It just doesn't happen naturally.
Right, you're not like staying up at night being like, that synthetic cushion.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Not at all. Really? No, I just don't.
So what would be your top tips?
I'm much more careful now about the clothes that I actually wear in my real life. When I am choosing clients to work for, I still will work for clients who are not sustainable, because guess what I do all day when I'm spending that day with them? I'm chatting about sustainability and I'm possibly educating the people right up there at the top of that brand.
You are converting.
I'm converting.
Yes.
And I love it. That to me is so interesting. I'm endlessly curious in those conversations. I don't find it exhausting. I find it really invigorating to talk about environmental issues and sustainability and how to become a more sustainable industry. It's really interesting to me, genuinely interesting. So I really enjoy modeling now, way more than I used to, because it's got this whole other side to it that's enriched me and my life.
That's so cool.
Purpose. That's really cool.
So shall we perhaps end on your most, your top tips on how to be more sustainable on a daily basis, like for instance, getting a bamboo toothbrush, which by the way, I you can get great bamboo toothbrush at Planet Organic, but last week I was in a pharmacy in Notting Hill and they were selling bamboo toothbrushes wrapped in plastic packaging. And I was like, how on earth?
That's ironic.
How on earth is that even smart? Like who on earth decided to do that?
It's exactly, sustainability is not just about visuals. It's not, we're not getting organic bamboo toothbrushes because they look pretty. They happen to look pretty. The prettiness is a byproduct of them being good.
Right.
So definitely switch your toothbrushes. Ideally, even talk to them about where they source their bamboo, because bamboo can become a monoculture and they use heavy fertilizer and pesticides on bamboo crops as well. So it's contributing just as cotton is if it's not organically grown. So ask those questions, because if you ask it to the brand will ask their suppliers. Eventually it will make a change. So your one tiny little question, I would say this is the biggest piece of advice I give you. Never feel like you are too small to make a difference. Yeah. That is the most destructive way of thinking. You, every choice you make, you never make a choice once in your life. How many plastic water bottles have each of us bought? Yeah. We're all roughly 30 years old. We've bought so many.
Yeah.
Imagine how many plastic water bottles we will save if we never buy one again. So many. Yeah. We are big enough to make a difference.
Yeah.
So in my home...
And if we don't buy them, they'll stop making them.
Exactly. If we stop buying them, they'll stop making them. And if you're buying a long life water bottle, permanent water bottle, whatever they're called, reusable water bottle.
Yeah.
Try not to buy it in plastic as well, because it's just a thicker amount of plastic. And again, remember the lifespan of planet Earth. That water bottle will end up in the landfill or in recycling, and recycling, it can't be recycled infinitely. Metal can. Metal's a great
Yours here
recycling.
Is in metal, and it's in a really... Is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's in a really chic case that you've designed.
The cap is metal as well, and that's important because when materials are sorted, it's a lot more energy to sort a cap off of a water bottle.
Okay.
Sounds super easy, but it's not. If you're dealing with a quantity of millions of bottles, to take all their caps off is really frustrating, whereas if they're made of the same material, you don't have to. So eventually that water bottle, even though it's really beautiful and strong, made of stainless steel, it will be recycled one day. So let's prepare for that day as if it were tomorrow. In your home, don't use liquid soap anymore, because liquid soap comes in plastic. Bars of soap don't. Bars of soap, you can find them with zero packaging now, or a small bit of paper, wax paper, which is not as good as nothing, but better than plastic bottles.
Yeah, and they look pretty.
They look pretty. You can find a cute little soap dish that brings some charm to your bathroom.
Yeah.
This is a great way of becoming like engaged in your sustainability. Soap dish shouldn't be plastic. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. It's everywhere you turn, and you really like, when you do this, you're like, wait a minute, I wasn't even looking. I didn't even realize what was plastic.
Totally.
Anymore.
As soon as you start thinking about this stuff, you see it.
You see it everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. It's like when you're pregnant, you suddenly see all the babies.
Yeah.
That you didn't notice before.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, there are kids everywhere on this planet.
Kids everywhere.
Exactly.
Oh, that's how we all got here.
Yeah. So I would say whenever you buy something new for your home, read the label of it, whether it's a rug. Rugs are usually synthetic, but they could be made entirely of wool. They're more expensive, but they last longer and they feel nicer. And they're usually in more beautiful colors. And you might be able to do that. If you are able, I really encourage you to do it. If you're not able to spend a bit more, which is, by the way, nothing wrong with that, totally an admirable situation to be in, buy something secondhand. There are a bountiful amount of secondhand homewares that then, if it's synthetic, that's okay, because at least you're not buying something new and it's new to you. I love secondhand. I love eBay. I buy all of our furniture is from eBay, pretty much all of it. And it feels so good.
I furnished my whole flat from going to antique markets and...
Yeah.
And it's a lot less expensive than buying new furniture.
Way
that's
less expensive.
And the quality is... less on the new furniture usually
than
the old furniture. I like mid-century a lot, and that's
super, mid-century modern, I love.
really good quality furniture.
Unique. You can really make your home feel
so nice.
I weirdly will even go further and say, with handbags, with a lot of furniture, I think it looks better when it's a bit used.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's one thing that I always have had a massive issue with. And I think the fashion industry is especially guilty of it. It's the box fresh look. Yeah. Girls who walk around mm-hmm. with outfits that look like they've literally just come off a coat hanger. And I think if you think about women who've got great style, women through the ages,
yeah.
the Jane Birkins, the Brigitte Bardots, the Caroline de Maigret's, the yeah. Caroline Bassett Kennedy's, like, they never look like they're wearing something for the first time. They all look like they've True. Worn yeah. their
Caroline Bassett wore the same neutrals all the time yeah. and just layered them differently exactly. and had this three slip dresses.
And,
I mean,
and
really.
Then the clothes look worn in, which makes them hang better on your body. Mm. It means that something doesn't look, you know, I think new things don't look that good. Mm. They, you know, they don't hang on your...
They're not ready for you.
No, they just... it's almost look... It's like a pair of sneakers that's too white. It's something mm-hmm. not chic
yeah,
about
it's not
it.
Cool. Yeah.
And I think people need to not want to look like a model in a campaign. You want to look like you've lived in your clothes, like they have a story, like they have meaning. Yep. You need to get to know them. You need to learn how to mix and match them. And you need to develop your own sense mm-hmm. of style without...
And also retrain yourself about not just the newness of the outfit, but the newness of the opening of the outfit. So we've all had that experience where we open a box mm-hmm. of something new and we tear the paper off and we unwrap the
unboxing.
Tissue and it feels so good and you just love it. I genuinely don't get that feeling anymore from packaging. So yeah. It's possible to retrain yourself to not like that feeling. Yeah. I now feel much better when I leave a store and I say, no, thank you. Don't wrap it in tissue.
Yeah, I never.
I'm just going to put it in my bag. It's my new thing and it's in my bag and I feel better about that than having it in packaging. So it's all about training yourself and it's not as difficult as you think it is to retrain these habits and these little like pleasures in life.
Well, on that note, I feel very inspired.
Yeah, thank you so much,
thank
Arizona.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Arizona.
You so much.
And thank you, Café Royal, for providing this gorgeous studio.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you, Café Royal.
Which,
it's
in
been
fact,
very
is Monica
chic.
Ainley's gorgeous room.
We have this beautiful sunlight dripping in on us. Yeah. And I think the rugs look wool to me.
I think they do.
There may be a synthetic cushion somewhere, but we're
the
just going to ignore
that. Very Wes, the room has got a very Wes Anderson vibe, don't you think?
Yes,
it's
I
the colors.
Agree.
It's pink and yellow and white and
mustard. I love
pink
and yellow together so much. Mustard
very
and
cute.
Pink.
Cute.
Yeah, it's very cute. Cute. Very cute.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, that was a great conversation. I feel positive. I don't feel guilty.
Well, I think it's nice.
I mean, I feel guilty.
You still feel guilty?
But
no,
I
it
feel
is
less
difficult.
Guilty.
I find it so overwhelming to talk about these things because it's true that you just feel that everything is a minefield. And I like Arizona reminding us that it's okay to want things. It's okay to buy things as long as you're not buying too much, as long as you're thinking about what you're buying, and as long as you are not sort of perpetuating an industry that's destroying the planet, basically.
Exactly. But I do think about there's the protesters who really were very present at this London Fashion Week, and they're right, and maybe they seem annoying and they're really rubbing it in the faces of all of us in the industry as we queue up outside the shows or as we try and get our work done. But
well, I don't know, like I remember listening to a really interesting podcast on the topic of Extinction Rebellion, and I know that's worth mentioning because there's a big march for climate change on the 20th of September, I believe,
here in London.
In London, ahead of the United Nations Climate Action Summit on September 23rd, and someone was asking themselves the question whether Extinction Rebellion, much like the suffragettes a few generations ago, who stood out in the streets and committed small acts of terrorism, you know, like back in the day, they were considered pretty radical.
Yes, and they were dismissed as sort of
they were dismissed as terrorists and insane yeah. and troublemakers. Now are viewed by all as heroes. Absolutely. Who got us women the right to vote, which now seems like it's obviously perfectly normal, but it's not that long ago, and it took people marching in the streets, attaching themselves to buildings and blowing things up to get things moving forward. So actually, peaceful marches and other forms of protesting are efficient, and perhaps
hear, hear.
Perhaps in a few years we will view the people who have been marching and trying to raise awareness as the true heroes of our generation.
Absolutely. So we leave you with a little reading by one of our favorite actresses that I overheard at the Anya Hinmark presentation during London Fashion Week.
Sir, everyone seems to agree upon the necessity of putting a stop to suffragist outrages, but no one seems certain how to do so. There are two, and only two, ways in which this can be done. Both will be effectual. One, kill every woman in the United Kingdom. Two, give women the vote. Yours truly, Bertha Brewster.
And remember, if you love us, show us the love by rating and reviewing us on iTunes.
Au revoir!